All right, here we go. It is Wednesday, March 18th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. I'm Damon. You're you. Great to have you here. Absolutely gorgeous weather in the Bay Area. So thanks for hanging out with me just a little bit. Really appreciate it. And I went down the rabbit hole of the 49ers offense, and I came back with things to report to you. And it's things that I like. We're going to talk about the gravity, the gamble, the unknown, and the surprise today. All four topics have been covered by the 49ers this offseason. So it's great to have you here. Let's just dive right into the fact of what we know about Kyle Shanahan's offense. It doesn't depend on anyone other than Christian McCaffrey touching the ball a million times when it comes to spreading the ball around in the passing game. It's not single player dependency in this passing game. Shanahan's offense has never been a one receiver system. In their best offensive seasons, which were 2019 and 2023, the targets were distributed across like four or five guys pretty much the entire year. The 2026 roster has five legitimate weapons on it. It really, really does. Evans, Pearsall, Christian Kirk, Jake Tongas, and Christian McCaffrey, I believe, are the five weapons that is really going to unlock one of the top offenses in the NFL. Again, McCaffrey just had a ton of miles on his body, but he came out of the season feeling really good, and he remains one of the most versatile, most dangerous players in all of football. And until something happens that changes that trajectory, let's not just assume that it's going to change. I know that nothing is forever, but it doesn't seem like it's ready to, you know, have all the wheels fall off right now. As a matter of fact, you get better offensive line in front of Christian McCaffrey. I think he could be even better than he was last year. When you look at really the engine that makes all this run, though, of course you have Kyle Shanahan designing plays, creating separation. He is a mastermind of X's and O's offensively. There's no doubt about it. He's got a running game that everybody in football has studied. The guy that really is responsible for it, though, is Brock Purdy and his accuracy. He is system DVOA. He really is. He makes the system run more efficiently than you could ever hope for. In 2023, Purdy's first full season, the 49ers ranked number one in offensive DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. In 2024 and 2025, with injuries happening around him everywhere, of course, that efficiency dropped a little, but the system's ceiling, when it's healthy, is legitimate. It is. And if these guys stay healthy, that's a big if. We all know that, but that if is in front of every single football situation that you'll ever look at as a football fan. Healthy, if these guys really have some health, I believe that they have an offense that rebuilds that ultra-efficient baseline and puts Brock in an MVP conversation. Then you look at all this, and finally, you know, it's probably the most important question that you got to ask when you're acquiring all your new toys. What's the cost? What's the cost of this? Well, in 2026, the cost is fantastic for the Niners. You know, they've restructured and structured these contracts that enables them to spend more money around the rest of the roster. You know, that's why you can make a trade for Odighizuwa and then restructure him and re-sign him to future years as the price of positions is going up to about $20 million at every good position around football. But right now, you got Evans for a cap hit of $4.25 million. You got Kirk for $6 million. You got Tongas for $4 million. That is a combined cap cost of about $14 million of these guys in this upcoming season. That's good business and cheap efficiency at those skilled positions. That's what's going to be able to have these guys spend on the rest of the roster and come back to Trent Williams, which is their biggest cost concern right now. And we will get to that in just a second. But more than anything else, it's great to have you here. Please hit like and subscribe as we are getting underway this afternoon here. It is a gorgeous day. Again, when the sun is shining like this, I'm feeling like there should be fewer people watching videos on YouTube. Not that that's good for me, but that's good for you. So watch this and then go outside and enjoy. And when you're outside and enjoying it, enjoy yourself a sandwich from Ike's. Absolutely delicious sandwiches coming from my man. And if there isn't an Ike's near you, hopefully there will be soon. It's the fastest growing sandwich empire in America, and hopefully it'll be hitting your taste buds soon. We also want to thank my new partner, Kalshi. You can go to the link that is right at the top of the description of this very video, of this live stream that you're watching right now, and use promo code Damon to get $20 when you trade $20 on what is the largest legal prediction market in the United States. Kalshi is really the industry leader, and they do an unbelievable job, great interface, and it's available in all 50 states. So no matter where you live, you can make Kalshi start working for you. It's a real-life money market. People start trading on what they think are going to happen. You build a position. You can trade in and out of almost any prediction that you can think of. It is there. So check out Kalshi. Scan this QR code right here and make sure you use promo code Damon. When you sign up, you get $20 to trade with when you trade $20. So thanks very much for Kalshi joining the program. It's great to have you here joining the program. It's great to have everybody. And let's get into the fact that we got gravity, a gamble, an unknown, and a surprise. Are you ready? Here we go. Because when it comes to the 49ers, Mike Evans is now the gravity. By the way, I'm not even talking about McCaffrey now. We all know that you got to have your eyes on Christian McCaffrey. He is one of the most used weapons in all of football, and that won't ever change. You know, Kyle is addicted to Christian McCaffrey, but he's not even the gravity of this team anymore. That's about to be Mike Evans. His role in the San Francisco offense is obviously going to be that X receiver. He's going to be on the boundary. He is a primary red zone target. He is your back shoulder target. He is an across the middle of the field target. I mean, here's the thing about Mike Evans. There really isn't a blade of grass that doesn't force you to defend him should he go there. He is that versatile. The case for Evans is not going to be about volume. He doesn't need 160 targets this year. No one gets that as Shanahan spreads the ball around in his offense. What he needs to do is be efficient. Debo Samuel in 2023 led the 49ers with 97 targets. You know, let's see if Mike Evans is looking at 100-120 targets at the end of this year. Without that, he can still do major, major damage around the NFL. The system distributes. And in a distributing system, having a guy like Mike Evans means you just can't single coverage that guy anywhere. The world just got easier for every other wide receiver on this team. You cannot put single coverage on Mike Evans and feel good about it. You've got to roll a safety. You've got to think about double teaming him. That in turns makes space for Pearsall and Christian Kirk. They're going to be so much more viable with Mike Evans on the field as an option for Brock Purdy to go to. I really believe that. Evans is the gravity that bends defenses in his direction. That means the guys can break what is bent in another direction. 800 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns, 70-plus catches. That's all, I think, the floor of what Mike Evans can do this year for the San Francisco 49ers. If healthy, those numbers can go up extremely in all of those categories. If he stays out there and healthy, again, at $425 million, no matter what his numbers are, that's a bargain right there. I mean, think about Mike Evans for a $4.25 cap million hit in this upcoming season. That's a heist. That's a bargain right there. Pearsall, if healthy, for 17 games, it feels like he's about to be a 1,000-yard guy. Christian Kirk, in the slot, that's a career revival waiting to happen. He was not used right in Houston. Shanahan gets more out of his slot receivers than anybody. Tongas gave you 5 touchdowns in limited work. What happens when that work becomes less limited? I think it goes up. I really do. again, Purdy plus Shanahan plus those weapons, I think really do mean the 49ers are going to have one of the best offenses in the NFL next year. Christian Kirk, he's the gamble. If Evans is the gravity, Kirk is the gamble, and it's a gamble that I don't blame the 49ers on taking. Some people are out there saying his best is behind him. He's not who he used to be. I mean, who among us really are? But Christian Kirk in 2025 was an outlier. That's not the guy that I think the 49ers are going to get. He was playing in an offense that was ranked, and this is where I went down the rabbit hole, okay? The Houston offense was ranked 22nd in passing plays, targets in the slot, and that's where they played him. So his production went down because the offense just isn't looking to make hay where he's out there baling hay. In 2022, under Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, Kirk functioned as a slot-first, yak-after-contact receiver, and he was 1,100 yards. He was 1,100 yards in his best NFL season when he was used where he's comfortable in the right way with an offensive-minded head coach who knew how to get the most out of him. Kyle Shanahan's slot receiver usage is among the most productive in football. Again, this is my rabbit hole. In 2023, the slot position generated 32% of San Francisco's receiving yards. So it's 6 million. This is a high floor. Let's see where that ceiling actually, you start bumping your head against it. But this is a high floor slot receiver in a system that will use him where he's best at what he does. Like that to me, that's going to matter for the 49ers. So we got the gravity. We got the gamble. To me, Ricky Pearsall remains the great unknown. You know, his role in San Francisco's offense is now going to be that Z receiver. You know, Mike Evans is your X, your Z receiver. He's the boundary guy. This is the after the catch threat, the intermediate route threat, the boundary speed. When you do want to send him, we know he has it. He is a variable with a very high ceiling. Again, we still don't even know really about Ricky Pearsall. You know, he posted some per game numbers that are consistent with what you'd want out of a wide receiver one. You'd be thrilled for out of a wide receiver two. This guy put up numbers when healthy, and now he has to be motivated by the targets that will be out there taking the heat off of him, and the fact that we're starting to question whether or not you really belong in this league. You know, there aren't a lot of guys who go through the really weird entry point to his career that he went through. His entry point came with an entry wound made by a bullet. You know, so he was behind the eight ball. Some weird nagging injuries have not been friendly to him. Whether or not he, you know, I don't want to say jaked anything. I don't think he jaked anything, but it really felt like there would have been moments where dealing with a bit more discomfort would have made him available. At least that's the way that Shanahan framed it. And I don't think Shanahan did Ricky Pearsall any favors when he did him like that. He basically should have said, no, this is a more severe injury. He shouldn't have played down the injury. He should have basically played it up because we hardly got to see this guy at the end of the year. But Pearsall enters 2026 with an awful lot to prove. And it feels like if he played 15 games, you know, thinking about him as a 900 to 1200 yard receiver isn't out of the question. Like, isn't some preposterous, you're dreaming buddy sort of production level from him? Two guys, three guys who could actually threaten 900 yards of offense receiving. I mean, if you sold me that right now, I'd buy it. I would buy that easily from an offense that likes to spread the ball around. He is this offense's biggest swing factor. If Ricky Pearsall ever lives up to that first round billing and the hope that you had on the day they drafted him and the hope that you seem to have on the days where he is healthiest and at his best and involved. I mean, look out. Look out. And look, you know I'm no house organ. I'm not sitting here trying to butter anybody's muffin. But the more I looked at this, the more I thought about it, the more I went down the rabbit hole, the more numbers that I crunched, the more I looked at how these guys were used when things were going well, man, it feels like every single time we sit down to evaluate what the Niners are, what they're doing, how they're built, we're looking for everything that's going wrong. Could you just imagine if they get actually offered a season of and things went well? I mean, what the hell could that look like? I think Jake Tungus is the big surprise waiting to happen. The big surprise waiting to happen. Again, we got the great unknown, we got the gamble, and we got the gravity. So let's talk about the big, juicy surprise that Jake Tungus could be. Now, the choice between Jake Tungus and George Kittle is no choice at all. You would want George Kittle 10 out of 10 times. There is no better, well-rounded tight end maybe in the history of football if run blocking is what you're using to evaluate how good this guy is at the position. George Kittle is an A+. He's going to the freaking Hall of Fame. Jake Tungus's five touchdowns on 34 catches is a better touchdown rate than George Kittle's career average. That's a nice place to start for a guy who was undrafted and unplayed in his rookie year, was only really used for the first time in his career last year. This guy, I think, can be a legit weapon in the final 20 yards of the field. This guy plus Mike Evans plus Christian McCaffrey equals, I hope, red zone success. Got to have some red zone success, especially if, you know, you're moving on from Juwan Jennings, and Juwan Jennings was the best performer this team had in the red zone last year. Tungus's role is never going to be about volume. It's going to be about efficiency. It's going to be about the structure that he provides as a threatening pass-catching tight end out in Kyle Shanahan's targets. You get a second tight end before Kittle comes back now, because Kittle's Achilles could keep him out of much more of the year than he is actually in. So it's Tungus. It's use check. It's whatever tight end you might find in this draft. It's whatever tight end you still might approach in free agency. But a two tight end set would create a 12 personnel grouping that would force linebackers onto the field, more linebackers on the field. Up did Mike Evans and Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey just get harder to defend? I think they did. Did Christian Kirk in the slot with more linebackers on the field? You're going to feel comfortable having a linebacker try to run with Christian Kirk? Good luck with that. We know that Brock Purdy loves to work the middle of the field. So maybe the concept of volume absolutely comes Tungus's way in some certain games, in some certain game plans, in some certain afternoons where he's eating. He's got good hands. He's got a wide receiver's hands. He's got really good speed. He's got good size. He is never going to be laying down the mama blocks in the running game like Kittle does, but that would be using him wrong. I like it, man. I do. I like the 49ers offense as it sits today. Of course, everybody gets hurt. Well, that's going to change everything. No duh. You don't even have to leave that as a comment. You don't even have to like, but Damon, these guys could get hurt. Yes. Applies to everyone at all times in this league. I get it. I really, really do. But I think we got some seriously interesting things happening here. I like the way it fits together. One of the biggest problems that the 49ers had last year in terms of their wide receiver room, their weapons room, if you will, the pieces didn't fit together. They had the same kind of C plus, good on possession, physical receiver, but not exactly a burner, a separator, a true route technician. They didn't have that last year. The way that these guys are going to fit together, I think, is what really separates the bad memories of 49ers offense, which even when it was bad, wasn't that bad, to what this could be, which could be, I think, a top three offense in football, period, with a top five scoring average. That's what the Niners, I think, are looking to return to with this efficient, about to be launched offense on the NFL. Now, let's talk about how deadlines spurn action. And we have a deadline coming for the biggest action that I now think the 49ers have to take. And that action is simply get Trent Williams taken care of. Why wouldn't you get Trent Williams getting taken care of? It has to happen. He is due $31 million in 2026, and none of that is guaranteed. And there's no money, obviously, beyond that. It's the final year of his deal. There is a guaranteed $10 million due to Trent Williams this Friday. It's a $10 million option bonus prorated over the course of this year and three additional void years they kick in. The 49ers want to lower Williams' $38.8 million cap hit for this year right now, and they want to avoid paying that bonus. And the 38-year-old tackle is looking for more. You know, he wants to once again be the highest paid tackle in football. Well, guess what, dude? At the age of 38, that's no longer available. Do you still perform at an incredibly high level? Sure. But the guy who gets the richest among us contract is the guy who is in the sweet spot and prime of his career, not at someone who's at the end still playing really good football. Trent Williams and his agent have to be, they have to know that this is the way the world works. There's got to be a middle to meet here. And again, Friday is a deadline. Make a deal. Make a deal. You don't want this $10 million. Here's the thing. You don't want to be paying him this $10 million lump sum this Friday. You'd like some relief there. Make a deal. Give him another year. Figure it out. Now, when the walls come crashing down and it ends poorly, it will end poorly. But because the problem with Trent Williams isn't Trent Williams, it's the lack of succession plan. And that's why Trent's playing hardball, and that's why the 49ers kind of have to play hardball with him. But I just hope everybody is able to come to their senses before this deadline on Friday and just figure this out. Is everybody happy? Is everybody where they want to be? Do you really want to be in another situation here, Trent? Do you want to go and at the age of 38 restart this thing in another market with another team and another quarterback and coaches you're not familiar with and a locker room you don't even know your way around and streets that you haven't been driving for years so it doesn't really feel like? Do you really want to restart this thing? I don't think you do. I don't. Figure it out. Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com wrote this, and I think that just makes too much sense. The 49ers likely want to pay Williams something closer to $21.9 million that he made in 2025, which would make an awful lot of sense. Finding common ground on a deal that guarantees Williams $25 million in 26 and then $30 million in 2027 would be smart for a team that doesn't have the replacement for a 12-time Pro Bowler, and why Williams might want to become the highest-paid tackle in league history one more time and top Rashawn Slater's $28.5 million average. There really isn't a market out there that's going to pay him that. We know that. So to say that the Niners have to meet the market when that market doesn't exist, again, that's asking for just a little bit too much. I want your greed to be satisfied without you being greedy. Does that make sense? You know, if your whole thing is, I don't want to be hurt this year and have no means to make money next year, all right, we're going to guarantee you a big portion next year too. But we'd like you to come down off the cap this year. Next year, you're on the books for $30 million. And if the Niners want to cut you then, well, you know what? If these teams don't care about dead cap space, why am I going to? And it is clear. Look at the dead cap space that the Denver Broncos took on when they moved on from Russell Wilson. They were in the AFC title game last year. Look at the dead cap number that Miami's going to carry this year. They ripped the whole thing apart in the name of, this ain't our year. We're going to have better days and future seasons. And they are in full teardown with ridiculous dead cap money. Ridiculous. It would have been ridiculous in just the Tua dead cap. But you look at what Jalen Waddle now represents. When you look at what Tyreek Hill represents, it's insane. And again, the Dolphins don't care. It's fanboys. It's guys on the internet. Just, you know, I got another word for dead cap money. Are you ready? It's called accounting. That's all it is. It's accounting. It's like when you lay somebody off, their salary goes from this column into this column, and this column is treated differently by the math. Therefore, everything's better for the business. What they're really doing is restructuring the piles of money that it goes into. Again, a $10 million due, a $10 million bonus due Friday, we would like to take out of that pile and put it into this pile over here so it counts differently against the math of the cap. Trent, can we play ball here? Let's go. Get this thing done. Again, I know none of this stuff is particularly exciting to talk about. Cap numbers and dead cap numbers. But this is what the Niners are like, you know, wringing their hand. This is what they're thinking about in Santa Clara right now. And I hope that they get their thinking done before Friday in this deadline. Again, deadlines spurn action. And we'll get to that in 1 second. But again, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming on by. I hope you've hit like on today's show. How many likes are we looking at here? We're not even at 50 likes yet. Come on. Not even at 50 likes. That's hurtful. I mean, I went and I prepared for this show today. I went down rabbit holes. Instead of spending time with my family last night, I'm thinking about the 49ers offense. I'm doing that for you. Thank you for being here. Hit like, hit subscribe. Maybe just as important, hit that notify button. That way, whenever we go live, whenever a video gets put up, boom, you know about it. And I know so many of you really want to help the channel grow and support the channel. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, share the video, push it around the internet, share it, share and share alike. Let's look at some of these supers that have come in. I appreciate your supers. We got Too Much Sauce saying, is Steve Kerr on a steep decline? No. I just think the Warriors as a talented basketball team are on a steep decline. And it all goes together. We'll get to the Warriors in just a second. Steve Lewis. Okay, so if you had to pick a legend to share a meal and a conversation, would you choose Reggie Miller or Muhammad Ali? This has to be like an April Fool's joke, right? Am I going to pick Reggie Miller or Muhammad Ali? Am I going to take a sniper from the Pacers' glory days, a Hall of Fame shooter who in a different era would have been even more dangerous than he was? But am I going to take a basketball player over Muhammad Ali? Are you serious? I mean, I'm going to lunch with Muhammad Ali before I'm going to lunch with presidents, much less other athletes. I can't think of anybody in NBA history other than maybe Wilt Chamberlain to get some stories. I would rather go to lunch with Muhammad Ali than Michael Jordan, for God's sakes. Come on. It's Muhammad Ali we're talking about. You know, the most interesting man in the world promos? That should have been Muhammad Ali. Michael Reeves coming in, just putting $4.99 in the ganja jar. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the channel. TVY. I'm just going to call you TVY. If someone offered you $100 million, no strings attached, would you quit streaming? What would you do with your life or your time? Yeah, you could pay you if you paid me $100 million, I would probably go away. Now, here's the thing. I would go away just because that's the deal of getting the $100 million, and I would miss broadcasting. Look, I'm a broadcaster. I got a broadcaster's heart, but you're telling me I can still like MC events. I could still go on the radio. I could still do things that I wanted to do in the world of broadcasting, still make appearances, but I just would have to stop streaming my YouTube show. Yeah, for $100 million, you could buy me out today. So call me if that's the proposition you're looking to make. Now, where's that $100 million coming from? Is it going to be some like, ugly blood money that I have to worry about? I don't want that. I don't want to compromise my moral compass for a paycheck. Money's not my Jesus. But if I told Jillian I turned down a $100 million deal, she would be angry, and rightfully so. By the way, sip of the day, everybody. Cheers. 49ers play the Raiders this season. Let's say Fernando Mendoza and Brock Purdy are both balling and it's tied in the fourth quarter. Deep down, who you rooting for? I'm rooting for myself. I am rooting for myself. And for my channel, it is better if the 49ers win that game than lose that game. Now, I will always be pulling for Fernando Mendoza, but I don't quite cover the Raiders like I cover the Niners. So, yeah, we'll roll Niners there. But I will also tell you this. Who I am rooting for does nothing to affect the outcome of the game. So you don't need to worry about that at all. At all. Fuji. Pick one to have a meal with. Corso, Knight, or Signetti. All right, well, with all due respect to Lee Corso, he's not even in this conversation, so not Lee Corso. Bob Knight is a guy that I have talked and had conversations with. I would love a one-on-one off the record, but because of what Signetti has accomplished and because of the still unknown factor, again, if you want to learn about Bob Knight, there are 12 books that you can go out and get. I got a few of them right over here. Season on the Brink. If you want to get to know Bob Knight, read A Season on the Brink. It's one of the best sports books ever. Signetti, in a crazy way, is still this unknown entity that has risen like a monolith over the rest of the college football world. He has changed the arc of Indiana in a way that no one could have ever, ever thought. Matty Pup. 1005. Thank you very much, Maddie, for the super. Let's let Trent walk. We can trade or draft for a guy. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. I am not. I don't think this team is better this year without Trent Williams. Even if you had drafted his replacement, I want that guy to be groomed at guard more than I just want him thrown into the mix. Trent still has value this year. I think he's going to have value next year. And then the wheels start coming off. But I just think Trent is the kind of guy that if you wanted to do that, you would have had to have drafted that guy last year and you didn't do that. Again, what is the thing that is wrong with the Trent Williams situation is a total lack of succession plan. And the Niners don't have enough of a premium pick at 27, nor should they be moving up in this draft I just don't think you... how about this? Bring Trent Williams back and draft a tackle. That's what I think this year needs to look like. Fuji with one more. Think of how much NIL you could give IU with $100 million. We would have a better basketball team. I can promise you that. Right now, I'm worried about the Jack and Ozzy NIL more than anyone in Bloomington. Terror Dome. Cignetti just got old guys playing high schoolers, but all right. You know, you're out of your mind. By the way, the whole concept that Indiana had the oldest team in football last year, wrong. Go look at it. Go look at the numbers. And if you don't think that everyone in football is about to do what Indiana did, you're out of your mind. Welcome to the new world. Indiana's just better at living in it than you are. Terror Dome, they everything Indiana got, they earned. They bought nothing. They had the right guys in the right situation with the right coach. And that's the way it is. You know, older guys late in their careers wanted to transfer in. What is that? Did Indiana do something wrong? It's like saying the Warriors cheated when they added Kevin Durant. They did nothing wrong when they did that. It's all about the you. You ain't shit. All about the you. I saw that the you was complaining that it's got to go on the road in the Midwest to play its opening round NCAA tournament game because the camp that what are they playing? Missouri. Missouri is going to be close to St. Louis, so the Missouri's camp. Yeah. I don't want to hear it, Miami. We just went into your stadium and won a national championship right on your field. You are Indiana's bitches forever. The entirety of your football program will never be bigger than that one moment where you lost the national championship game to the Indiana Hoosiers on your own field. You are forever. Miami is now the southernmost city in the state of Indiana. The whole city's ours. The beaches, the waterfront, all that Latin ass, the cocaine, the skyscrapers, all of it. Miami Vice reruns, it's all ours now. Miami, you can see yourself out. Welcome to the state of Indiana. We own your ass forever. And that's the truth. Terror Dome saying, Michael Irvin, Ray Lewis, Will Fork. Yeah, you got memories, dude. You sound like me talking about Damon Bailey trying to justify Indiana basketball. Come on. Come on. Your memories didn't serve you very well during the national championship game, which you lost on your own field. Michael Irvin, the belt went to his ass. The amount of shut the fuck up pie that he had to eat, and I like Michael Irvin. Mwah. Best thing to come out of the kitchen in a long time. You know what I will say about Miami, though? Shame on the Marlins. Now, I know that you're not going to be able to recreate in any way. You're not going to be able to recreate the World Baseball Classic consequences. So the biggest thing that baseball is missing in terms of how come this game doesn't have roaring excitement on a Wednesday against the Milwaukee Brewers in the middle of the summer? Well, because baseball is built to not matter in its regular season as much as it is built to matter. You know, the old saying is everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. It's the other 42 games that define your season. So there's really 42 games that really matter. And, you know, when those games are being played and pop up, you never really get to know. But there is so much disposable baseball. The thing the World Baseball Classic offers is, you know, this isn't disposable. These games have consequences. You want to get to the playoff round? Well, you better win your round robin opening. And then once you're in the playoffs, it's not a series. It's one and done. So we're going straight to game sevens. And that's what adds the drama. And look, when you get to check that drama box, baseball's great. No sport builds the drama quite like baseball, and having to wait for that next pitch in the situation and the circumstances and the count and the everything, all the base runners, all the traffic. Like when baseball really gets to unleash drama, it is thick, it is fantastic. And that was the real star of the World Baseball Classic. Now, you can talk about these players really care about playing for their countries, and there's no denying that. I mean, you saw the joy on Venezuela. Their dugout exploded like they were the Miracle on Ice Olympic team. They were so excited to win that. And I do like that. I love patriotism, no matter what dugout is projecting it. That's great. It's great. It adds to the drama. Congrats to Venezuela. Aaron Judge couldn't negotiate his way out of a big at-bat if he tried. Guy kind of does not deliver when it matters most. How about Bryce Harper, though? Look, that was a really good baseball primer because the games came with consequences and they felt dramatic and everybody leaned in and went, that was fun. That was great. And that's what baseball needs. And the crowd and the reaction and the energy. It's hard for any of that to be replicated throughout a it never ends Major League Baseball season. And it's really hard to replicate that in Miami. We're not even trying to win. But man, what incentive to win. I mean, there are people down there who clearly love baseball. So cater to them. Put a good product on the field. Make it more exciting. When you got consequences, the sport rules. It really, really does. Let's see. There are consequences out there for the Golden State Warriors. There's no denying that. The Warriors and Celtics are meeting tonight, 4 o'clock West Coast tip time at games in Boston. It'll be a shock to see the Warriors do anything other than fall 3 games under 500. Porzingis has been playing well. You got Porzingis back in Boston. Nobody really gives a shit. But hopefully he continues to play well and doesn't get hurt and has to miss the rest of the season. But at the same time, shut it all down. You're going nowhere fast. Don't bring Curry back. Rest Draymond. I wouldn't risk Porzingis right now. I'd just be developing young kids. Admit your situation. There'd be more dignity in it. The WNBA. We'll talk about deadline spurning action. Here we go. The WNBA took big steps on a new deal to get women paid better and their season underway. I know, look, I got Chef A looking in here. She's in here. I know we got some Valkyrie fans in here. I'm not a Valkyrie fan. I'm not a WNBA fan. Again, I don't have to like things that you like. You don't have to like the things that I like, and we can all get along. You know, San Francisco's about individualism. If I'm going to be the one guy who just ain't into women's basketball, let me be that. I just can't get into it. I've honestly tried. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. But, hey, let the others debate the winners and the losers in this. I'm looking at this as if you are a WNBA fan, you got to be happy. Teams are now going to have $7 million salary caps. I saw that detail. So that's what you get to build out your roster. The new Supermax for a star is $1.4 million. And you can say, geez, that's still not a lot. Look, the Supermax last year was $250,000. So if you're the star of your WNBA team, you're a millionaire now. Congratulations. What I do know, screw the math, screw the how they're divvying the pie up. Let smarter people who are interested in it, talk about that. Here's what I know about the WNBA that I think is truer than anything that you're going to hear anywhere. A work stoppage, a labor stoppage, a strike, not starting this season on time would have been devastating for the brand. The brand will now not be devastated by some sort of stoppage that would have killed whatever real momentum this league has. So if you were a WNBA fan, you better be excited about this news and quit complaining about the details. You ain't a WNBA player. It's not affecting your life at all. There you go. Sharks are back home Thursday versus Buffalo. And if you're waiting for the moment to officially lean into the San Jose Sharks, folks, that moment is here. Where is it? Wait, I found this one the other day, too.
Come on, Dings.
No, wait, that's not the one I wanted to push. Hold on. Where is it? Where's my guy? Where is he? Where is he?
Donskoy!
There it is! We have nothing but Jonas Donskoy memories at this point, but we'll always have
Donskoy,
which I love.
Donskoy!
Hold on. Wait, it goes better with this.
Donskoy! Donskoy!
Go Sharks!
Donskoy!
Buffalo is really good. Buffalo just doubled up San Jose in Buffalo last week. So a little revenge game. A little revenge game for the Sharks here. And they all matter. There are 16 games left in the regular season. Every game, every period, every shift right now is big for the San Jose Sharks. Utah is in first place in the Western Conference wild card with 76 points. Seattle sits second place with 71 points. Tied with the LA Kings, who also have 71 points, but Seattle has the tiebreaker over LA. And then there are the Sharks with 70 points. You're rooting for the Sharks to win, the Kings to lose, the Kraken to lose, and Utah is probably going to go ahead and get that first seed. So the second wild card is the target. Shoot your shots. Root against the Kraken and the Kings, and the Sharks could be a playoff team this year.
That's fine.
Make it happen. All right, a few more supers came in, then we're going to hop into today in history. Where did we leave off? We did this already. Yeah, let Trent walk. We can trade or draft a guy. Again, that's too much of a gamble. I don't want to do that. How much NIL would you? We did that, Fuji. Thank you. With the NIL donation, Damon, imagine you could request IU build a golden statue of you and Cignetti. Who needs a building named after them? Look, the statue of Cignetti probably has to be bigger than the biggest building on campus at this point. Like, can we get a 12-story Kirk Cignetti statue? Just have it lording over the stadium, staring at it? Build me a statue. Red Jet, dropping 10 on the IU rant. Seriously, if there's one thing I don't want to hear, it's lippy freaking Miami Hurricane fans ever again. When it comes to the Indiana Hoosiers, all Miami Hurricanes are on full shut the fuck up mode for the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives. You will never have a more stinging, a more deflating, a more humiliating defeat than losing the national championship game on your home field. Thank you, Red Jet. This banter deserves a dime. Smash that like. Keep the college football rap battle coming. Thank you, Red Jet. Look at it this way. I'm ready to rap out. You know who's scared of me now? Uncle Luke. He's scared. He's scared. He don't want to talk college football with me because I own him. Two Live Crew is now an Indiana band. What do you think of that, Uncle Luke? Damon, have you ever met Mark Cuban? If so, how was it? Too much sauce. I have met Mark Cuban. We didn't get to talk very, very long, but, you know, we gave that secret IU handshake when we met. We talked about the basketball. I met him. He was just sitting, at courtside Oracle watching the Mavericks warm up when I was doing Warrior pregame show. So I was there really, really early. Cuban is out there. I mean, this is like during the, you know, the Malone era. I mean, this was a long, long time ago, but I have met Mark Cuban, and because we were speaking Indiana, we had a great little conversation. He loves the Hoosiers. He really does. So, it's all been good with Cubes. Steve, thank you very much for a $5 super, Steve. Appreciate you. Says, I don't watch baseball. Who are the all-time NBA player equivalents of Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani? All right, well, an NBA all-time equivalent for Aaron Judge would have to be a player who was really good but never delivered. You know, James Harden, Joel Embiid, tons of regular season success, postseason success, eluding them. again, I'm not hating on Aaron Judge here, but the guy just, you know, how many big at bats does he not deliver in before you just say this guy's not made for big time moments? The all-time NBA player equivalent to Shohei Ohtani is Michael Jordan, LeBron James. He is the great. How about this? Whoever you think is the greatest basketball player of all time, that is the NBA equivalent for Shohei Ohtani, who is right now the greatest baseball player of all time living among us. If Shohei Ohtani's career ended today, he is the greatest baseball player of all time. Better than Mantle, better than Mays, better than Ruth, better than Bonds, better than everyone. He is a number one. He is the first choice, number one overall pick, I believe, in the history of baseball. And by the way, I said that before anybody. This is not a recent development. I remember arguing about this with Ratto 5 years ago on the radio. I was arguing. I sounded like this on Ohtani back when, you know, he hadn't even left the Angels. Fuji. Joe Lacob is making money with the Valkyries. Does he become less hands-on with the Warriors and let the Dub front office have free reign without interference? No. That's the scary part of the whole thing about the Golden State Warriors. That's the scary part. It's that Joe Lacob has already proven to be a success business-wise, construction-wise, ownership-wise, where he continues to come up short. And what he really wants to prove is that he knows ball. I don't think he does. I don't think his kid does. And that's why the Warriors, without Steph Curry, are spinning their wheels. If Joe Lacob would just be the owner who didn't meddle, he'd be fantastic. But he's becoming a meddlesome owner. There is no doubt. He's the one who screwed up the Kuminga thing just as much as Steve Kerr did. We got Bill Wagner again coming in. Prime Brittany Griner versus prime DeMarcus Cousins one-on-one. DeMarcus would destroy her in all conceivable ways. Prime DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know if Brittany Griner gets a bucket on prime DeMarcus. What are you serious? I mean, come on. Come on. Like, who is the single best WNBA player right now? Brandon Pajemski would cook her. All right? Let's not do this. Let's not open old wounds. How about this? If Moses Moody spent this upcoming season in the WNBA, he would set every single scoring, assisting, rebounding, and skills and steals record while winning a unanimous MVP in the team he were on winning the championship. Moses Moody would be the single greatest WNBA player of all time. So let's calm down here, okay? Bill says, Aaron Judge is basically like Carmelo Anthony, except for Carmelo Anthony in the Olympics was awesome. Carmelo Anthony on the big stage of the Olympics delivered. He's like one of the greatest Olympians of all time. So, no, I mean, Aaron Judge is not in Carmeloville yet. Too Much Sauce says, would you give up your Ike's Damon Bruce sandwich for an IU statue of you and Cignetti? You guys, what are you smoking weed coming up with these questions today? No. I'm going to tell you right now that here are my legacy plays. When it's all over for Damon Bruce, here's what will remain. Hopefully the love of my children, Jack and Ozzy, will carry my legacy, and that sandwich is going to outlive me. The Damon Bruce will be a sandwich at Ike's long after I'm gone. It's done more to get me publicity than anything I've ever done with an agent or a marketing campaign or any station's social media department. The name Damon Bruce, whatever you think of him as a sports talk guy, has like this level of stature. The Damon Bruce sandwich is up here. People might not like Damon Bruce, the broadcaster. I have yet to meet anyone who does not like Damon Bruce, the sandwich. So we're going to keep that going. Thank you for asking. Well, Michelle, I think that Asia would take down Cousins in a close game. She wouldn't score. Like, he would beat her. If they were playing at 21, he would win 21 to maybe 5, okay? DeMarcus Cousins in his prime? Do you forget how much of a bad motherfucker he was? Come on. Come on. All right. All right. Are you ready for a little today in history? We got an interesting day in history for you. Again, thank you very much for being here. Hit like, hit subscribe. Check out my new partner, Kalshi. Thank you very much for eating at Ike's. And you know what? Go get yourself a beautiful Guinness at the Dubliner today. I know that they're not sponsoring anymore, but I love the guys at the Dubliner. They'd sponsor for 2 years. I'm going to love those guys forever. Go get yourself a bottle of blackened whiskey. Go get yourself a cheeseburger at Uncle Boy's. I love everyone who ever done business with me. Thank you all so very, very much. Sometimes the stars... Now, what was it? Sometimes the stars go round the moon, or sometimes save the best for last of Vanessa Williams. You go and save the best for last. Like, that was a pretty song from a gorgeous woman. And today that woman turned 63 years old. Happy birthday, Vanessa Williams. We'll be talking more about you in just a moment. Happy birthday to Dane Cook. The comedian is now 54 years old. Haven't seen Dane Cook in a while. I think he fell out of favor. Queen Latifah. UNITY. Still a banger, man. UNITY is so good. 46 years old today. Adam Levine. I was in a band, then I wanted to be a judge on a TV show guy. Adam Levine, probably getting another douchey tattoo somewhere. He is 47 years old today. Happy birthday, Adam Levine. So I told you I get excited whenever we have a day in history where I get a triple digit date. The only thing better than a triple digit date is a double digit date. Today, March 18th, in the year 37, Caligula was declared emperor of Rome. Now, most of you probably know Caligula is a movie that really tried to straddle the, can I do a real movie and a porn at the same time? Caligula did that, not to a varying degree of success, but that was the old, like, we're trying to make a real movie and a porn at the same time. Caligula. Look it up, but not at work. Caligula was a crazy guy. He was a crazy guy. It was basically like what we got in D.C. right now. We got Caligula there, too. Both sleeping with children, I believe. Today in 1662, the public transit system began operating in Paris. It involved horse-drawn carriages that would transport people around the city. They would charge a small fee, arrive at stops at fixed intervals. The concept of public transportation born today in Paris. The coaches ran 5 different routes around the city of Paris. Each one would seat 8 passengers, which made people want to pay more to get on. So it wasn't really this is for the people. Public transit was actually a little bit of a luxury item when it came out first. But there you go. Happy birthday to public transit. Today, in 1850, one guy named Harry, the other guy named William, founded American Express. But they would leave the company they founded in 1850 to do their own thing. Also, on this day in 1852, Henry was Henry Wells, William was William Fargo, and today, Wells Fargo was founded officially as a banking company today in 1852. There you go. Wells Fargo, happy birthday. I'm sure you're screwing me in some way, shape, or form. Today in 1902, Italian operatic tenor Enrico Caruso, not Enrico Palazzo. Enrico Palazzo was unavailable, but he was one of the first musicians to ever document his voice on a gramophone, making his first phonograph recording. To me, the art of how words are recorded, that's always meant a little something to me. So there you go. Happy birthday to the phonograph recording voices. One of the first singers ever to be captured. Today in 1965, a Soviet cosmonaut named Alkesi Levinov. Alkesi Levinov passed through an airlock on his spaceship and took the first ever walk in space. Think of the balls you had to do that. So I'm just going to use this little tether. I'm going to tether myself to this spacecraft, and I am going to go out into the biggest void of nothing in the universe. If something goes wrong, the amount of you die is 100% certain. If this tether breaks, it is over, kids. Think of the balls you had to be the first person to walk in space. Come on. That's crazy. Today in 1981, the TV show The Greatest American Hero debuted on NBC. Now, you probably don't remember much from that show, but it did have one of the best theme songs of the earlier 80s. It did. Believe it or not, I'm walking on in. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. That was a good, catchy-ass theme song for a bumbling, stumbling, wannabe superhero, which is a show that I don't remember a lot of other than I watched it when I was a little kid. But there you go. The Greatest American Hero, with a really good theme song today in 1981. Now, I told you that we would be talking about Miss Vanessa Williams again, and we are right here. Because believe it or not, it was on her birthday in 1984 where she became even more well-known as the first Miss America because she had to resign her position as Miss America because they found old photos of her published in Penthouse. Ironically, so Miss America did not want you to be able to go and see Miss America naked in Penthouse. Ironically, the issue of Penthouse that she was naked in is illegal to own or even look at. That issue of Penthouse is famous for two reasons. Number one, it's the first issue that ever had a man on the cover. George Burns was on that cover of Penthouse, but the centerfold inside the magazine was a photo spread of an underage Tracy Lords. She was a minor when she showed us the cookies in Penthouse. So to have that magazine is illegal. To look in it is illegal. And this is the same issue that Vanessa Williams was taken to task for by Miss Universe. She went on to prove herself a first-class actress and singer, and she was graceful. And again, the controversy made her more famous than she would have been. Look at it this way. How many Miss Americas can you name but for Vanessa Williams? This made her so famous. She had nothing to be ashamed of. She looked great. I got to tell you, my friend's dad had that issue. I have seen it. Today in 1990, in what was considered the biggest art heist ever, two men pretending to be police officers stole 13 works of art by Rembrandt and others from the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. The art was stolen, and it was never recovered. I know they just broke into the Louvre a little while ago. They recovered all that art. This art is still missing. Whoever did that in 1990, one of the all-time art heists. Congratulations to them. I'm almost freaking impressed. Finally, I'm going to tell you this because it is a gorgeous day. And to me, on a gorgeous day like today, you are always looking for that right song to put on in your car, roll the windows down, and drive. Well, today in 2017, Chuck Berry, who rhythm and blues, guitar, rock and roll is just a pivotal figure. Chuck Berry today died at the age of 90 in 2017. Put on a little Chuck Berry. Put on Maybelline by Chuck Berry today. It's a great song. It's a great song. It's great rock and roll. It's great rhythm and blues. And it's like, to me, it's like, it's almost like this is one of the, it's the primordial ooze that rap comes out of. Because he's not really singing on it when he's like, I was motivating one day over the hill, saw Maybelline in the Coupe de Ville. That is, he's basically rapping more than he's singing. Salute to Chuck Berry. I mean, I was driving around yesterday. I had the Grateful Dead channel. The Grateful Dead coming out of my speaker on a warm, beautiful, sunny day in San Francisco. It just feels perfect. But right here, best song for a beautiful day, San Bruno Mike. I mean, there's so many out there, no doubt about it. But if I had to just, you know, gun to my head real quick, what do you think? I mean, give me Lovely Day by Bill Withers. It works every single time. So does Maybelline by Chuck Berry. So go give Chuck some love today. He deserves it. Thank you so much for giving me some love today. Thanks for the supers. Thanks for participating in the chat. Thanks for being great. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to my went down the rabbit hole, prepped more for today's show than I have in a while. This is what I did last night, man. And I wanted to share it with you all today. I do like the way the 49ers offense is shaping up. If healthy, I think that they can wreck shop this upcoming season. I really, really do. It was great hanging out with you. There we go. We got that, which means I can push this button right here and I can officially tell you that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.